I want to speak today about a very important subject. That subject, actually, I've learned a lot about it when I've gone to Africa, and I learned a lot about it, particularly in the nation of Nigeria, that just African people generally, Africans value, that I've met, wisdom. They really do value wisdom. And sometimes Australians that I've met don't value wisdom. It's not a primary value. We may value other things, but I've learned a lot because we live in an age where more than ever we need the wisdom of God on our life for godly decision making. And to get where God wants us to take, you actually need wisdom. You can't get there without wisdom. So, Father, I thank you that you are able to make all of us wise here. And Father, I ask as we come to your word now that this word will manifest and it will be life. We won't just understand what it is to be wise, but you'll impart spirit of wisdom that rests upon Jesus, upon everyone's life here. And I pray that, I prophesy that everyone who leaves here today will leave here with something more of you in our hearts and in our minds, on our lives. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to start by going to Proverbs. Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs, by the way, from Job through Psalms, through Proverbs, through Ecclesiastes, it's called wisdom literature. That's what it's all called. When they go to Bible college, they tell you it's wisdom literature. So if you want to be wise, you read a lot of that stuff. And I just want to read from Proverbs 4, from just two scriptures, verse 5 down to verse 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, that's wisdom, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, in other words, whatever you seek, get wisdom in all your getting. Wisdom is the principal thing. Four times there it says, get wisdom, and it finishes by saying, with all your getting, get wisdom. So it sounds like wisdom in the Word of God is a very important thing. Amen? It says, with all your getting, get it. Make it the principal thing. Make it the priority of your life that you get wisdom. I just start by saying, is that the priority of your thinking? Do you think I need to be wise? That's what I'm after with my life. I desire to be wise in my thinking. Because the scripture only basically paints a picture of two types of people. Those who have godly wisdom and those who are foolish. There's kind of no in-between ground. There's people who value wisdom. And there's people who don't. The people who don't value wisdom, the Bible paints as foolish, and it says the foolish end up in destructive patterns. But the wise end up living constructively. They end up living a life of increase and prosperity, but the foolish end up in a life of decrease, ultimately in poverty. So wisdom is just critical for us to value. And it basically, there's a few aspects to godly wisdom. It entails, when we have wisdom, it entails the ability to make the correct and good moral choices which are going to lead us into a life of blessing. So we need to be able to make good, more than ever today, we need to be able to make good moral choices about relationships, about what you see, what you watch, how you handle your money. You need wisdom in all those choices, because we're faced with choices every day what to do. And even in the church, there are many, I've met many unwise Christians in the Church Universal. They're Christians, but they don't apply wisdom. And also wisdom involves, it's a creative capacity from God. It's God can give us an ability a knowledge that is not of this world, and it comes from heaven. And it is that knowledge is key to solving problems. It's a creative ability. When God, you can see when God told Bezalel to build the tabernacle, he'd been making bricks. That's all he'd done for 400 years. In all his generations, all they'd been doing is making bricks for 400 years. And yet when Moses received the blueprint for the tabernacle, it was complex. And had all these complex things, altars and spoons had to be made. And he said, call Bezalel. And what God did, he said, I put the spirit of wisdom upon him. So Bezalel was receiving from heaven, like a blueprint download from heaven about how to do this stuff. So it was creative and it was constructive and it was wisdom entails an ability to solve problems. But it's not just knowledge. Often people think wisdom is knowing things or intelligence. It's not intelligence. It's the base of wisdom is knowledge, but it's the Holy Spirit leading on how to apply that knowledge. That's what we need. We need to know how to apply the knowledge of God. We need, and when we're wise, that application comes with insight, Holy Spirit insight. You know, some people can just see through situations. They can see around the corner. Other people can't. I always say some people can see a right hook coming. Some people can't. They can see a setup like that you need to avoid. Joseph could see the setup with Potiphar's wife. He knew he had to run. Some people don't know when to run. But if you've got godly wisdom, you can see what's coming. The Holy Spirit, it says, shows us the things to come. So we need wisdom so that we make good moral choices. Where to be, where not to be. We have good relationships. We know what a relationship is going to be productive. We know what relationships to avoid. With your money, you need to be wise in how you invest it. Fool and his money go separate ways. And there's many people trying to promote schemes to us all the time. If we're foolish and we act out of greed or covetousness, the Bible says we'll end up poor. But it says God delights in the prosperity of his servants. And you see, the book in the Bible where you, and the person in the Bible who is famous for wisdom, who's that? Solomon, thank you. Solomon is famous for wisdom. And that wisdom, he had the wisdom of God on his life. And there's famously a time where a lady came, and there was two ladies who had babies. And one of the ladies, they lived together in the same space. And at night, one of the ladies rolled over on her baby, and the baby died. And in the morning, one of the ladies came and said, look, this is what's happened. But that lady whose baby died came and took my baby. And so that baby's now my baby. And the other lady accused the other lady of the same thing. So they're both basically saying this tragedy's happened, but the baby's mine. And so it was a real dilemma for Solomon to solve that situation, to come up with a solution. And how would you solve it? Very, very difficult, isn't it? Two women, one baby, both saying it's mine. And nobody can see who's telling the truth. So Solomon, it says he called for a sword. And he said, bring me a sword. And he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut the baby in half and I'm going to give you half and you half. And at that moment, the lady who was the true mother said, no, let the other lady have the baby. Let her have it. And Solomon says, take the baby and give it to her. It's not hers. And that action to solve that dilemma, which was very, very difficult, came from the Holy Spirit. It was something he just came to his mind from the Holy Spirit. And Solomon was famed for his wisdom. People came to listen to his words. They came to listen to what came out of his mouth. Wisdom it's evidenced by our conversation and the way we live. And the fruit of wisdom is that it enabled Solomon to administer justice, you know, with that baby situation. And we need wisdom to administer justice even in our own homes, make fair decisions with our children. In 2 Kings 10:8, there's a lady called the Queen of Sheba, and she came, she was a queen, And she'd heard of what Solomon had done, the temple he built, and Israel was just coming up. And it came up from being a small nation, and it came up to be the head nation in the region. God promises to make you the head and not the tail. And wisdom, Solomon's wisdom, had seen Israel be exalted, because and Israel and wisdom will exalt our lives. And so this queen came to hear the words and the conversation and to see the wisdom of Solomon, to listen to him. And she, when she came in 2 Kings 10:8, she said she observed that he had many, many wives. Now, normally, if you've got many, many wives, it's a sign for contention in your house, isn't it? But if there was a lot of wives. But he said, all the wives and all the servants, she said, I noticed they're all so happy. And the happiness comes from hearing your words. If we're wise and we speak words of wisdom in our home, sooner or later, our children and those around us realize there's keys to success coming from this person. Even if sometimes they're things of discipline, I may not like to hear them. The house becomes happy when there's wisdom at the head, when there's wise counsel. And so that wisdom of Solomon was used to build this temple, and the temple was like it was. You know, it's probably still to this day the greatest architectural construction ever in the history of the world in terms of design and creativity. Wisdom built that. Wisdom allows us to build. And the temple is where the house of God is. The wisdom allows you to build your temple well. It allows us to build the temple of God well. In that temple, there was such order. There was such order, and it was beautiful order. Wisdom also brings order and organization into our lives that we need. But wisdom, let me just say, I said before, it's not intelligence. Wisdom is not accumulation of facts. Wisdom is something that comes from the Holy Spirit, and it kind of, let me just show you something. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Just turn over a couple of pages. I'll show you what wisdom is. Wisdom, from verse 22, I'll read some of it. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, he's speaking about creation. I was brought forth. So he's basically saying it was wisdom. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep in verse 27, when he established the clouds, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, these are acts of creation. When he assigned to the sea its limit, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. So he's personifying the work of wisdom in creation. And then he's describing the work of wisdom in creation. And then in verse 29, what I just read, he personifies wisdom, and he says, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. So when the world was being created, he said, wisdom is being used. But wisdom was beside, he personifies wisdom. Wisdom is a person beside God, in whom God was delight. Who's that? It's Jesus at the right hand of the Father. So wisdom is Jesus. The source of wisdom is Jesus. And in Isaiah 11:2, it says the spirit of wisdom will rest upon him. So to be wise is to be connected to Jesus. Wisdom can only come. You know, the wisdom that created the whole world, that put everything together. You know, that made the sea stop. And the mountains, that was all, that all, it says the world was made for and through Jesus. So Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is what we need to have this knowledge that comes from another world. It's not an accumulation of facts. We need Jesus. That's why the Bible speaks about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ to make moral decisions. The mind of Christ to choose right on every occasion. God wants Christians to have that. We need that. It comes from relationship with Jesus, not an accumulation of facts, not even Bible facts. It comes through knowing Him. Amen? It's so important. I've dealt a lot of, and this is just, I'm going to speak just frankly, church, I'm not preaching it. I've spent a lot of my time over the years dealing and cleaning up mess. I'll say this as your shepherd, of Christians who have not sought wisdom, who have just made decisions. I joke with my daughter, and this is not defacing, but I said sometimes we people come under the spirit of stupid. That's what Grace and I say. We do something always, it's a spirit of stupid. But we can come under that. We just lack wisdom. And this is why it's what I want to say today, it's so important that we value the getting of wisdom. If we're going to get to where God wants us to get, if we're going to get to where we want to get in life, but particularly where God wants to get, to make you the head and not the tail, to give you a creative capacity to make good moral choices so God can bless you. It says there's you've actually got to value wisdom. You've got to start. I keep saying, Center of Christianity is moving. We're learning from the African world. Value with all you're getting, get wisdom. You know, something with all you want to get, you want to get thin. That's what our world says today. With all you're getting, get physically attractive. No. With all you're getting, get wisdom. With all you're getting, get big muscles. No. You can have big muscles and be stupid. A lot of people are. I see them. Vanity. The Bible says vanity is stupid. Value wisdom. With all you're getting, make wisdom the primary thing. Make it the thing that you're after. You want to be close to Jesus. You want to have the mind of Christ. You want to have that Holy Spirit informing you. Even Jesus in Luke 2:52 says when he was a boy, people came and heard his teaching, and it was just amazing. They said, we've never heard teaching like this. And then Jesus said, I'm just going to put myself under my parents, that's submission, till I'm 30. And it says in those years, what did he do between 12 and 30? It says he grew in stature, in wisdom. Yes. So Jesus, to get where he had to get in God, had to grow. He came in the flesh. He had to grow, and he had to become wiser and wiser and wiser. We're actually commanded in the scriptures to be wise. Be wise as a serpent. Be innocent as a dove. And if you don't get wise, you know, I think someone took a communion a little while, spoke about the virgins. That speaks about the church when Jesus comes. Some people who are in the church that don't really please him, that have been deceived and don't live a godly life, don't stay filled with the Spirit. And when he comes, half of them are raptured and half of them are left. You know why they're left? You know the difference between the two groups? It's called the parable of the wise virgins. Because the wise are connected to Christ, who tells us the things to come. And they're living for him. They're worshiping him. They're obeying him. They're on fire for him. And the others have let all the fire go out. They're just going through the rituals, and they think it's okay. Why? Because they've got no wisdom. They're the foolish virgins. So how do we get this wisdom? How do we get it? How do we get the mind of Christ? How do we get so close to Jesus? How do we walk with him? That through the Holy Spirit, his thoughts are coming into my mind. His values are coming into my values. He is enabling me and telling me what is in my spirit man. I'm just getting into my still swipe. I know what not to do. I can see a right hook coming. I can see a setup of Satan. And I know what is a bad choice relationally. I know what is a good choice. How do I get it? How do I get it? First of all, you've got to value it. Like I said, you've got to value it highly first. And If we just turn quickly to 1 Kings 3, I want to show you, it's often people know that Solomon, how did Solomon get wise? Why did God give Solomon wisdom? Because he asked for it. But I want to show you something else. This is so important. Before he asked him, this is where it says, Solomon came, and the start of chapter 3, if you've got a heading of New King James, it said, Solomon requests wisdom. Is that in your Bible? Okay. Before he gets it, this is very important. Solomon says in verse 7, Now I learn, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go in or came out. Verse 7, verse 9, Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. I know he asked for it, but before he asked for it came humility. He actually said, I don't know what I'm doing. Even though he'd been out to war with David many times, he'd led the people. He'd been with David when he went out to battle. And he knew how to go out and come in. He'd watched David. He was the king's son. He'd seen it all. But he said to God, he said, apart from you, I can't do it. Smart people, people who are intelligent, often struggle to come into the wisdom of God because we think we can trust in a good human mind. But Solomon got it, not only because he asked, but because he said to God, I don't have it. I don't have that connectivity with you. I need it. But me and myself, me without a connection to God, no matter how smart I am, I can't do it. I tell you, you can't make a success of your life with a good mind. A good mind becomes long-term, and I've seen this, it actually becomes a detriment unless it's yielded to the Holy Spirit. Unless it's yielded and informed by the Holy Spirit, a good mind can take you in a really, really bad place. So he says, even though I've got a good mind, I need a connection to you. So it begins with humility. And then someone else says, ask. That's particularly true. James 1 says, ask. Anyone who asks for wisdom will receive it. And that passage relates to trials. It's speaking about rejoicing in trials because trials perfect us. Then it says, now, anyone who needs wisdom. So it's like if you're in a trial, you say, I don't know what's going on. What's going on, God? Sometimes you're following God as hard as you can. Things start to go pear-shaped. You say, God, what is going on? If you ask God like that, he's not offended. He said, if you ask in faith, he'll tell you every time. Anyone who asks for wisdom, he says, will get it. As long as you ask in faith, believing that he'll give it to you. So when you're in a trial, ask. Holy Spirit will tell you. James chapter 3. This is very, very important, particularly for young people. I'm glad there's a good young quorum over there. I just feel excited about preaching to young people lately. Maybe God's going to make me a youth pastor. I missed it, I know. I don't have the trendy gear or the haircut. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. There's humility again. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So he's saying there's a wisdom that is not the wisdom of God. Then in verse 17 it says the wisdom of God that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, fruit of mercy and good fruits, without pasture. So he's basically saying there's two types of wisdom. One is what the Bible considers worldly wisdom, and it actually doesn't come from heaven, doesn't come from Jesus, it comes from earth. And let me tell you, any wisdom that is apart from Christ, any wisdom that does not come from Jesus, the mind of Christ, every new wisdom does not come from God, but its basis is here of this world. Don't be deceived. Even if it sounds good, it is earthly. If it's from here, it results in sensuality, and it is demonic. And you say, oh, that's weird. Let me tell you, Oprah, it's demonic. The source of her teaching is demonic. Dr. Phil, all that psychology, the source of it is hell. And, you know, some people say, some people have come to me and they said, Pastor, you Bible says you've got to love yourself. I said, show me where. It actually says we do love ourselves naturally, but love others like you love yourselves. Shall we keep going? Where's my daughter Grace? What's YOLO? You only live once. There's another bit of the world's wisdom. You only live once. So experiment with everything. That's demonic. Feminism says submit to nobody. Oh, that's in the church, by the way. You don't have to submit to anyone. That's demonic. Follow your heart. Let me tell you, church, follow your heart. This is what the young people hear of this all the time. Follow your heart. You can't go wrong. Let me tell you about says what the heart says, disconnected from Jesus. It's desperately wicked. It has an ability to deceive you, and you don't even know you're deceived. That's where you get if you follow your heart. Let's follow your flesh. So you've got to reject that. If you're going to get God's wisdom, you've got to know there is teaching of this world based just purely on the five senses. It's earthly. Tolerate everything. It's demonic. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's demonic. You've got to know that, and you've actually got to be strong enough to say no. Even if you're home, all your friends, all your peers at school are going that way, you're going to say no. You'll never get God's wisdom till you reject the earthly stuff. And that sometimes it requires you to walk alone. I can't tell you how many marriages I've ended up counseling because the wife has received her values and instructions, not from the Word of God, but from Oprah and Dr. Phil. Because it sounds good to the flesh. To the flesh, it sounds good. Sounds like love. We've got to just tolerate everything and everybody. No, the Bible doesn't teach us that. You know, also, you know, I've heard the most important person in the world is you. No, that's from hell. You know, this is all part, just when you hear all that, just say, it's all part of what we call now the gospel of personal happiness. Which basically, it's all part of something that says the most important thing is your personal happiness. That is not, that's actually a recipe. It's actually a recipe to be really unhappy. If you just think about you, your shape, you know, your figure, yourself all the time, that is going to make you unhappy. But conversely, if you start to think about other people, how you can help, it's a recipe for happiness. Okay, finally, the key. This is the most important thing about how to get wisdom. Some people know where I'm going here, but if you go to Proverbs chapter 2, the young people, when you apply this and you start to get exalted and wisdom starts to lift you up in 10 years' time by applying this word, you're going to come and thank your pastor. You didn't follow Uncle Phil or whatever his name is. Proverbs chapter 2, speaking about wisdom, let me read this little passage. Yet if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, that's wisdom, and search for her as for hidden treasures, this is what will happen. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So this is a process. You actually start to ask God. What comes next is not wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs chapter 9 and many, many, many other places, the book of wisdom is full of the expression, the fear of the Lord. And it finishes in Proverbs 9:10 by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy. That word beginning really means the foundation. To be wise, to become wise, it's impossible to become wise without first fearing the Lord. And it's, you know, the fear of God is so little taught under the church these days because everyone so wants to focus on the love of God. But I want to tell you, to get to the path of blessing, to get to your destiny, to have an exalted life, there is a narrow path. You can't just walk and live any old way. You can't live like the world lives. You've got to be on this narrow path. It's God's path of obedience, and it brings us to the place of blessing. You know, it's not the place of happiness. It's not even the place of being loved by God. You can be loved by God without being blessed by God. When God blesses you, and when you know you're being blessed by God, every part of your life starts to go. I'm so excited about the blessing of God. I could preach on it for years. But it's different to the love of God. You can be loved of God, not blessed of God. But following this narrow path brings you to the blessings of God, where your family's blessed, where your marriage, your relationships are blessed, where your finances are blessed, where your heart is blessed, where you actually feel, and this is what people in the church say, is, I lack nothing. That's how God wants us to live. I'm so full of peace. I'm so full of joy in the Holy Spirit. Even when I have difficulty, I'm not saying it's perfect, but I don't feel like I lack anything. I got Him. I got Him in reality. I've got Jesus in reality. I know He's with me. I know He's fighting my battles, and it's all good. You can get there, but you've got to follow the narrow path. On one side of the narrow path is the love of God. The love of God is there. It teaches us. That God never, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. It keeps us free of fear and anxiety. You need to be able to walk free of fear and anxiety to get on that path. And the love of God, perfect love casts out fear. So no matter how many times I fail, no matter how many times I mess up, God is never going to stop loving me. But that's not the path of blessing. If you want the path of blessing, it doesn't come through the knowledge that God loves me. It comes through obedience. And what keeps me walking in a path of obedience is not the knowledge that God will love me forever. It's the fear of God. The love of God doesn't stop you fleeing from sin. The fear of God does. And this is what the fear of God is in its essential. It's the fear. The fear of God means to be in awe of God. And let me cut through. There's a lot of teaching I can speak on this. But let me cut through the right chase. What it really is to fear God. To have the fear of God on your life. Joseph had the fear of God and he fled from sexual immorality. The love of God won't make you flee from sexual immorality. If you focus too much on the love of God, you'll fall because you'll say, God will forgive me. The fear of God makes you flee immorality. But what the fear of God is this, it's to be in awe of God because God is always either blessing us or judging us. Our obedience, He blesses. Our disobedience gets judged. And this is the fear of God, is that the knowledge that nothing you do escapes God's attention. That's the fear of God. To believe that nothing you do escapes His attention. He is so awesome. He watches over everything you do. Whatever you do, He sees it. You can't hide anything. Every white lie, He knows the motive. And everything you do, He's either going to bless or He's going to judge it. That's the fear of God. And so because you want to walk in this path of blessing, because you know He can only bless obedience, He'll keep loving me, but it doesn't mean He's going to bless me. He'll keep loving me even if I fall. But if I want to walk in the blessing, I've got to be a person that obeys Him because He sees everything. And so the knowledge of that, the knowledge that He sees everything, and He sees the temptation. He knows my struggle. But when He sees I choose righteousness and not the temptation, He goes, I'm going to bless Him. He chose me. I'm going to bless the socks off Him because He resisted that temptation. I'm going to bless Him because He didn't speak that thing out, but He held His tongue. I'm going to bless Him. That's what the fear of God is. He notices nothing escapes His attention. Everything. Everything. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the foundation of living a wise life. And so needs to be said today because so many people are focused. So many ministries are so focused. And I know the teaching. I love the teaching of the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. The love of God is absolutely inadequate unless it's combined with the fear of God. The notice that He sees everything. He blesses every act of obedience. Every time you choose Him, you're positioning yourself for such a destiny and such a future. So we need fear of God because it's the foundation of wisdom, but we need to realize that through the blood of Jesus. He has separated us from He has dealt that with that which separates us from God. So we could actually come and be connected to Jesus and actually receive his thoughts, receive from him choices that are always right. Sometimes those choices the world doesn't understand, the world doesn't agree with. But the Holy Spirit wins us to. This is the right way to go. Sometimes everyone else is going to choose left. But the path of victory is right. Jesus gives you that witness. He gives you the witness. Everyone else is going there. It's unwise. Go here. Everyone else is doing this. Holy Spirit, the still small voice. Do that. Everyone else is spending their money this way. Still small voice says, if you do that, you go broke. Spend your money this way. Wisdom for choices. More than ever today, we're being bombarded with demonic, worldly wisdom. And God has promised us his mind. In the Holy Spirit, he's promised us the very, very mind of Christ, that we will choose well. Like Solomon, wisdom will exalt our life through those choices. I want us to finish by praying. Just lay your hands on your head today. Father, I thank you for your word. Let me say, I forgot one thing, and it's just really important to finish. I forgot a point. And as I was about to pray, the Holy Spirit just said to me, you can't just go on. This is one of the foundations. Just let me finish. If you've got a Bible, go to 2 Timothy 3. I believe this is one of the most important points. That we need to be valuing wisdom. We need to be humble. We need to reject worldly wisdom. But 2 Timothy 3 says this. The scriptures are able to make you wise. Salvation. They're able to. But they doesn't mean they will, because if your Bible is always like that, you'll probably come to the worldly demonic wisdom. But this is able to make you wise. There's always a combination in the work of God between the Spirit and the Word. And we need to read this book. It's not a natural book. It's a living book. Jesus, who is, as I said, personified by wisdom, he is also the Word of God become flesh. Amen? So we need to have this in our hands every day. We need to be taking this into our lives every day. Even if it's just a verse, taking this into our lives every day. Because Jesus, he is that Word. Put our hands back in our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've told us, Lord, to ask for wisdom. The word tells us, Lord, because you know what we need as your children. You know we are on our own, and our hearts are desperate, we're wicked, we are prone to make bad choices. Father, I come to today, Lord. Father, we can act of humility. I ask the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, I ask today that you'll impart wisdom into our minds. Father, I ask today that as we seek you, we'll have a connection with you, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, where, Lord, we are able to choose well every time. Father, I ask for great patience, that we will not be a people who rush ahead of you. Father, I ask that we'll be a people who walk with you, who don't get behind you. But, Lord, we come to the fork in the road where we need to go right. I prophesy that people in this church shall go right. I prophesy that when the fork of temptation comes, Father, this church, these people in the church will resist temptation, will understand what is worldly, what is earthly, what is demonic. Father, I ask right now that you release the mind of Christ to us by the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask for a connection with Jesus in the Spirit. I ask that we'll be able to recognize your still small voice. I ask even now you impart a love for your word, a hunger for the word of God, a hunger for the foundation. Father, even now we pray, I speak. the fear of God over this house. That Lord, the fear of the Lord, the knowledge can come into us, Lord, that you are alive, you are real. That Lord, your eyes run to from the world, you see everything. Lord, you bless every act of obedience. And I prophesy that this will be a house where the people who come here will not only walk in the love of God, but they'll come into the blessing. They'll come into the blessing of God, the very blessing of Abraham, where we become the head and not the tail. Father, I speak the blessing of Abraham to wisdom of this church in the mighty name of Jesus. Every demonic I rebuke it this day. I command you to become nothing. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. God is going to make you wise. Let's raise him in some way. I prayed this morning that God would lead it the same. The Holy Spirit is going to do work in you. And I really believe that God's doing stuff here. So praise him. Praise him that he's a living God.